Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. Welcome to In the Know with Zach Simpson. And Zach is going to talk, among other things, the Albany City budget. So how have you been, Zach?
Oh, hey, Cynthia. Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm doing a bit good. Busy week. Busy week with a few meetings, a few events. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah, I was out and about. I went up to I went up to the Hilltown today to visit family, and I picked up some campaign materials for some Hilltown Democratic candidates. I'm going to help canvass next weekend for them. So I picked up some of the materials, and my hometown, they're not terribly happy with their town supervisor, so I am dedicating some of my personal time to go up to my hometown and help some Democratic candidates, reclaim some offices up there.
Now, is that Fern?
It's the town of Knox. It's up in the hill, Hilltowns. It's about population 2,600 people. Very small town, but I spent my from birth to age of 18 there, so it's a special place in my heart.
I was in Bern yesterday visiting friends. So tell us about the city budget.
So Thursday, so let's skip ahead a little bit. Let's bounce around. So Thursday I went to a meeting. Well, actually, I was going to go to the PEG access oversight meeting at City Hall.
Right.
My understanding was, but I guess it got rescheduled to next week because they didn't have a quorum. So that's going to be next week. So I attended a finance committee meeting. It was well attended by a good number of the council members. And Darius Schoenfar, he's the city treasurer, and Michael Wheeler, he's the city budget director, gave their 2020 budget presentation. I actually have a copy of it right here in front of me, so I can kind of hit on some things for you, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
So they talked about how they had a negative $1.7 million fund balance in 2015, your cash reserves. And that rose to $8.2 million in 2018. And they're projecting it to be $11.2 million at the end of 2019. But they are going to take a good chunk of that and pay it towards our debt service. They talked about how there's a certain fiscal stress designation that in 2014 we were considered significant. And which kind of means you're like at financial stress and risk. But as of 2018, it's considered susceptible, which I think is better. So I talked about that. So they're still relying on the $12.5 million of capital city funding from Governor Cuomo. They are going to raise taxes slightly on commercial properties. And there's a very slight decrease in the homestead tax rate for homeowners.
When you say commercial property, is that to the business district?
Businesses, yes. That's what non-homestead means. Just going through some of the presentation here. So the property tax levy on the city of Albany in 2014 was about $56 million, and now it's going into 2020, and it's risen to $59 million. So it's going up $3 million in the last 6 years. sales tax revenue has increased $1.9 million. They are keeping the trash, the waste collection fee, the trash fee, which was introduced last year. That's going to remain in the budget. It's projected to produce $2.4 million, and that is a $90 trash fee for single-family residences. And then for two units, it's $180, three units, $270, and four units, $360.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what else they're going to do. So they're projecting a 1% cost of living increase for non-union employees, and a 1-2% increase for union employees for 2020.
Okay.
So that was kind of a, you know, yeah, so Darius, Sean Farr, Michael Willey gave their presentation and answered some questions from the council members.
Okay. So it seems like it's a budget that will make a number of people not very happy. Would you agree?
Well, you know, one thing I got to tell you is I'm looking at the budget. I borrowed a copy of the City of Albany budget, and, you know, it's printed on this, like, glossy, obviously a very expensive, you know, presentation of a budget. And, you know, there was a It looks like they had a professional photographer do a lot of the photos, and they had a graphics designer do it, and I'm just kind of like, you know, it's just a budget, and it's a little over the top for my personal taste. There is some things with the mayor's office. You know, she's – I think we touched on – did we touch on her last time about how she's kind of doing a change of title for a couple of her employees there?
I believe so, but let's talk about it again briefly.
Yeah, so actually, let me just flip to the page of the budget I'm looking at here. So the mayor, so in 2019, the mayor made $135,403 a year, and her pay is remaining unchanged. But then the current chief of staff, he made $83,830 in 2019, and now he's going to become a chief of operations, making $96,030. So that is about
That's an increase of like $13,000.
Correct. And then you look at the deputy chief of staff. The deputy chief of staff made $60,597. And then he's going to become chief of staff and make $84,668.
What?
So that's a jump of about $13,000.
Over $30,000.
I think it's about $24,000.
Okay. That's still
pretty substantial. And as I just said, and I just said to you, you know, that non-union employees are looking at a 1% pay increase, and you got union looking at 1-2%, and you got these big jumps here. And then it just, you know, you go down to the bottom line, which is the 2019 budget for the mayor's office was $546,490. And then you look at the 2020 budget, it's $693,868.
Okay, so the difference will be what?
About almost $150,000.
Oh my God.
So, you know, that's here in the budget. There are good things about they're putting more money into street repair and sidewalk repair. They're putting more money into water projects, which I think those are very crucial. So, but yeah, that was something that was interesting. So, any other questions you think you have about the budget?
Yeah, it's going to be voted upon by the common council, right?
Sure. And you know, here's another thing. You know, looking at the salary of the fire chief.
Right.
2019, he got $124,347. This year, he gets $134,347, $10,000.
Wow.
$10,000.
Wow.
Okay.
So,
but then,
for appointees, they get a nice cost of living increase, right?
That, you know, $10,000 is a hell of a jump. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
For city government?
I think so.
But, like, then you look at the, you know, Chief Hawkins, who came here all the way from Michigan, and he's been dealing with,
right,
you know, several controversies in the department with, you know, the Eleazar Williams, the First Street incident, you know, the Grand Street incident. And he's getting a modest,
right,
you know, $1,000, $450, you know. It's nothing crazy there. So, almost
okay.
1500.
Okay. There's a big difference between that and $10,000.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's kind of, I'm not sure because I don't, you know, serve in the council, but I'm not sure what their take on that is. But that's just my personal things I've noticed looking through this budget. You know, my questions would be, what will warrant a $10,000 pay increase for the fire chief?
Right.
That's...
Now, I wanna do an invitation right now. There's 15 common council members. I would like to interview or speak with all 15 on Focus on Albany, whether they approve or disapprove of the appointees of Mayor Kathy Sheehan getting nice cost of living increases while other employees are getting 1-2%. I would like all of the Cameron Council members to talk to me about how they feel about the budget this year and whether they're going to approve it or not approve it.
That's a good idea. That sounds good.
Zach, so what else
did
you do this week? You're here. What else did you do this week?
So Monday I went to, it was the third of a series of public meetings talking about the New Scotland, Whitehall, Buckingham traffic study. So
right,
they were looking
right
at, their, yeah, so... So there's been a lot of issues with traffic on New Scotland, all the way from like 85 or 85 to all the way to like Albany Medical Center.
Yeah.
So there's a major influx every day of people commuting from the suburbs to go to work at, you know, the major centers of, you know, St. Peter's and Albany Medical Center. So they did, I think it was Creighton Manning. They were the engineers that worked on this study. But Mayor Sheehan was there. It was, I think, Bill Trudeau from Traffic and Engineering was there, and a representative from Creighton Manning was there, as well as somebody from CDTA. And they went over some of the recommended changes to New Scotland Avenue. One of them is to do a restriping where they create a center lane for turning, a turning center lane. It was one lane traffic coming in both directions. You know, a space on the street for bicyclists. There's some bicyclist striping. And then there's going to be alternative side parking. So there's going to be some loss of parking on New Scotland.
Zach, I've been down New Scotland Avenue. I have friends down there. But near the mobile station and near the sewage station. And not only traffic, but noise. the noise is pretty disconcerting. If you like, if you want to sit on your porch in the front, and it's by, you know, drive time, you're not only looking at traffic, you're looking at pollution, but you're also hearing noise pollution. That's a factor that is not even talked about.
Now, when you're talking noise pollution, you talk about the 87 traffic?
I'm talking about the traffic on New Scotland, just below the just below St. Peter's.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you're talking about, because, you know, where 87 hits New Scotland, I mean, right there, that's got to be noisy at times if you live there. But the traffic has been a concern. People have been speeding on New Scotland, so I think converting it to, like, a one lane will help kind of calm New Scotland a little bit. They're talking about there's two roads, the Fribel and Tampa. They run between Buckingham and Bender, and they were two way streets at one point. They got converted to a one way street. They're going to be converted back to a two way street, but they're not going to allow for a left turn from Tampa or Fribel onto Buckingham Drive. Because if they prevent the left-hand turn, prevent from going left, people aren't going to use it as a cut-through to get to Buckingham. So that's good. Hopefully people will abide by it. They're also talking about certain intersections to kind of do like a bit of a bump out and to slow down the traffic from taking the turns as quick as they do, kind of slow it down, make it a more of a walkable, friendly intersection, and make the crosswalks a little more narrow. So I think the overall cost is going to be like over $800,000 for the improvements that they had talked about, and they don't have the funding for it yet, but they'll hopefully work on that.
But you know, there's when you talk about traffic, whether you talk about Albany or whether you talk about another municipality, you know, every road is vehicle car friendly. One person, one car friendly. So I really don't see much being addressed on alternative means, like more buses and convenient buses, so that people who want to get to work or can't afford a car can travel much easier. What do you think?
Well, so I mentioned that there was a representative from CDTA there. So he did talk about one reconfigured route and one new route in order to increase capacity of people commuting into downtown from the area around the Scotland Avenue area. So that was good. But I guess one of the routes is going to impact people that take the bus to Slingerland's, like the Slingerland's Price Chopper Plaza out there. It's going to be more restricted for those individuals trying to get out to Slingerland's. So, you know, that's kind of the trade-off. I was encouraged by hearing that the idea of roundabouts being excluded from the traffic plan, the mitigation plan. So that was good for people that were against. There were some people definitely against the roundabouts. But people still have concerns about that 563 New Scotland project. You know, did this study take that into account? What impact is that going to have? Because that's going to have a lot of cars there. You know, it's going to have 200 and some odd cars there every day, coming and going. So yeah, that's still a concern for others.
Wow. Okay. So, did you go to any other important meetings this week?
So, on Tuesday, I went to the Beverwick Neighborhood Association meeting. They met at the Orlo School up on North Allen.
Okay.
And Chief Hawkins was there, Albany Police Chief. I've seen him so much because I go to a lot of meetings, and he's always like a speaker. He's always but I said hello to him, and I guess they're having a meeting in a few weeks with a lot of the neighborhood leadership to talk about, you know, policing in the city and current issues at hand. So that's good. So he spoke a little bit about, you know, he's been in the position about a year, and talked a little bit about some of the challenges he's had. You know, they do have a staffing shortage in the police department, but the good news is they're trying to double the size of the training program, because we do train our own officers here in the city of Albany. They're going to double the size of the class. So that's hopefully going to help kind of get us in a better situation with, you know, getting to reasonable staffing levels here in the city of Albany. Mm-hmm. But let's see, Doug Bullock was there. He talked a lot about the green initiatives that the airport has been doing with the solar panels and other items. Let's see, County Legislator Ray Joyce was there. He talked a little bit about the county budget. He also touched on how he came to my neighborhood association earlier in last month to talk about the blackouts, because he actually works for National Grid. So he wanted to talk a little bit about the blackouts that happened in our neighborhood. And he also touched on the proposal by the county executive to close the bars and restaurants at 2 a.m. instead of 4 a.m. Did you hear about that?
Well, yep. Actually, I've contacted the county executive office a couple of times, but I haven't received a response back. I'd like him to come on Focus on Albany to talk about why he wants to modify the times that establishments can be open. So what was said about it?
Just that, you know, it's being actively discussed. Ray Joyce didn't, you know, specify if he, you know, one way or the other how he feels about it. Because you know, it's a brand new idea issue. So I'm sure they have to weigh the pros and the cons and come to an agreement as to, you know, what they think about it. But I'm not sure if I would support that. I think that, you know, there are places that go later. Certain industry
right.
employees, people that work in the restaurant business, they have a place, they want a place where they can go after hours to unwind and, you know, and spend their money, and money is made. So
right.
I'm not sure I feel about that. And then Alfredo Ballarin, he's the common council member of the 11th Ward. He was there, and he talked a little bit about the city budget, and he's actually going to schedule, I think it's three neighborhood meetings where he's going to have members of his constituency come and talk about the budget and answer questions or concerns that they may have.
Oh, wow. Now, what district does he represent?
So he's in the 11th Ward, which is the Beverwyck neighborhood, I think the West End neighborhood area.
Okay.
Kind of upper central, Manning Boulevard area.
Okay. All righty. So, what's on your agenda for the next coming week?
So next week's pretty busy. So, so one thing I want to plug real quick is there is a 2-day presentation at the Albany Public Library, the Washington Avenue branch. This gentleman,
mm-hmm.
it's, what's his name? His name is Neil Selvin. He's got a PhD. He's director of Waste to Wealth Initiative at the Institute of Local Self-Reliance in Washington, D.C. And he's doing a public workshop on recycling and waste management in the Capital Region. So he's
okay.
going to come and do a 2-day presentation. And this it's sponsored by the Troy Industrial Development Authority, the Zero Waste Capital District member organizations, People of Albany United for Safe Energy, the League of Women Voters of Albany County, the Sierra Club of the Hudson Mohawk Group, Save the Pine Bush, and the Capital Region Interfaith Creation Care Coalition. So a lot of groups came together to bring this expert to Albany to talk about waste. And then, let's see, what else is going on this week? Tuesday, so I'm going to go Monday to this presentation. Then Tuesday, I'm going to ACPAC, Albany Community Police Advisory Committee. They're doing a community meeting with Chief Hawkins and Alice Green. Do you know Dr. Alice Green? Have you met her before?
Mm-hmm.
Have you interviewed her before?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Oh, really?
I did.
What did you interview her? Was it recently or a while ago?
It wasn't too long ago. I actually forgot what we talked about.
Well, I got to tell you, if you want to invite her back on your show, and if this wasn't the topic you talked about, I went to a presentation of hers. I went to a presentation of hers at the Albany Public Library. It was called Black in the Adirondacks, Growing Up Black in the Adirondacks.
Okay.
And she talked about being an African-American woman, or African-American child, and growing up in the mining towns of the Adirondack Mountains. And a lot of her experiences with, you know, discrimination and, you know, a lot of things that, you know, we don't deal with. And, she talked a lot. She talked a lot about her experiences as, you know, and I thought it was really a really great conversation that we had, that she had with us as a group. And that would be something really good for you to have on your show.
Oh, so. That's good. Yeah, I'll reach out to her. So the event that you're going to on Monday, is that free to the public?
Yes, that's free to the public, absolutely. And so is the ACPAC meeting. If you want to go to the waste thing, it's Monday and Tuesday, and if ACPAC is on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, the PEG Access Oversight Board meeting is meeting Wednesday at 5:30 at the Mayor's Conference Room at City Hall. But there's two political events. Bill Andrews, he ran for Albany County Family Court. He's having an event from 5:30 to 7:30 at Lynn's Uptown Tavern up in the Upper Washington Avenue neighborhood. And then Sue Rizzo, she is having an event from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Elks Lodge on Allen
Street. What day is that going to be?
Wednesday.
Okay. So it looks like you're going to have a busy week ahead of you.
Is that unusual?
No, it's not. But
yeah,
still have a lot to talk about next weekend for Focus on Albany, right?
That's how we do it. Keep the ball rolling. Keep the material fresh.
Right. So you've been listening to In the Know with Zach Simpson on Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Thanks, Zach. We'll talk next week. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great holiday weekend. Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks, Cynthia.